Hi, and welcome to a Dad's Path podcast. We're real dads solving everyday problems. Each week, we tackle issues that dads everywhere face and deliver actions you can take right away. Subscribe so you don't miss an episode, and go to adadspath.com to get our free newsletter exclusively for dads. Our goal is to help you make fatherhood count. Dad on. I'm here with Mark Garrett today. Mark is a passionate dad. He's interested in all things about dads. He's an entrepreneur. He's been in the corporate world for 25 plus years, traveled the world, and came back to the United States, the greatest country in the world. And now he's a leading father. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you, Will. I appreciate you reaching out to me. I'm glad to be here. And yes, I am a passionate father, and I believe in encouraging dads to be the best fathers they can be. And I love the United States of America.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Can't fault any of that. And just real quick about yourself, how many kids do you have? How old are they? Where are you in the journey?
Yeah, I just have one. He just turned 14 and he is 6'1" already. So he's growing up. Man, they grow up quick.
Yeah, that's the challenge I think that all dads struggle with. Challenging, it's not easy. And at the same time, you know you're going to blink your eye and you'll have a teenager and you blink your eye again and they're out of the house. So how do you balance that?
Yeah, well, you know, it seems like just maybe in this last year or something, it's become more real, you know, leaving the house and stuff. I think I've even mentioned to my son, hey, you know, let's do some stuff. You're only in the house like for the next 4 years. And really, honestly, it's probably only like 2 years because he'll be driving and then he'll be busy and, you know, he's going to work, friends, all that stuff. And so you start to kind of realize that, man, you have limited time. When they're first born, you're kind of like, oh, yeah, it's a long time with them, 18 years, whatever. But you start to realize that. And so we just got back from a spring break trip, went to see family on the California coast, and we just had a great time. We just laughed and we just, you know, we did adventurous things. We rode some ATVs on the coast on these sand dunes, and it was like just super exciting. And man, I'm loving seeing my son move into manhood. These years are even, I mean, all the years, you know, because I look back at some pictures, you know, Facebook pops up things and I'm like, oh yeah, I remember when he was that young and oh yeah, I remember that. And, you know, I think, you know, just balancing it because I do, you know, very entrepreneurial and I've got my corporate job and I've got a lot of these different organizations and stuff that I take part in. But, you know, I like to bring my son along in as many things as I can because I can still be doing the things that I need to do for work or for my other commitments. But he can see that. And then that shows him also, you know, kind of gets him prepped for going into the working world and that kind of stuff. So as much as I can, you know, we go out to East Texas a lot. We spend time out there. I got some lake property. We go out there and we just enjoy. We just have fun.
I love that. But there's a flip side to that, which is as kids get older, they can do more. You know, like it's not all depressing. Hey, my baby is not a cute little baby anymore. Like there's great things like you're saying, you know, you're taking your not little kid anymore along on these journeys. And not only can you bond in different ways, but you can communicate different things in different ways, right? Like what you were just talking about are values, I think. You're saying, hey, come with me. You can see what I value. You know I love you. I'm your dad. But I have to be doing other things. You should see what those things are and why. You know, I need to make a living. I value X and Y and Z. So that's the other side is we get deeper into parenthood. You know, you're a little ahead of me. That I think about is saying, what are those types of values? And am I actually showing those values in my actions? Not my words, because kids obviously don't listen to your words. They do your actions. That's really interesting. And put you on the spot a little bit in terms of values. If you had to list sort of two or three values that you really want your son to get from you, you know, when you're thinking of him as an adult, what types of values are really, really important to you? And then the follow-up will be, how are you able to communicate or how are you trying to communicate those to him?
Yeah. So we were actually talking about this the other day in a group, and we were talking about our legacy and talking about as fathers, whether you have sons or daughters, you know, what kind of legacy do you want to pass on to them? Right. So for me, obviously, I have my faith. And so my faith is very important. And I want to pass that on to my son so he can pass it on. But he also has to make it his own, you know, and we were even having some conversations the other day and he's got to understand what our faith is and what we believe. But he's also got to make it his own. Can't be forced. Right. I want him to have that because that faith gives him that foundation when, you know, the world happens and things happen. And I want him to have that foundation. Right. Along with that, I want him to know the value of my love so that he can also pass that on. I'm not going to always tell him that he's right on everything. I'm going to be there and I'm going to help him through whatever he's going through, but I'm going to allow him to do it, right? Again, it's him coming into manhood. You know, it's that confidence that he has, an assurance in his abilities. I want him to have that. And then, you know, I want him to have a good work ethic for future employment and for, you know, he's got all these ideas, man, that, you know, and they're amazing. A lot of big goals, right? You know, but in order to do that, he's got to be very diligent, very disciplined. And then I want him to have a heart for helping others out. So I would say, you know, things like volunteering and making sure that as he's succeeding in life, he's helping others to succeed too. So I would say those are probably some of the values I want to make sure he has.
Those are awesome. Yeah, you'll have a very successful son if he gets even just a little bit of that. The work ethic, I think, is really interesting. That's something that comes up a lot. And I think maybe more so with this generation where you kind of look and say, are you just playing video games all day? Are you just watching TV? You know, and I think to be fair, I'm sure our parents said the same thing about us. So on one hand, that does make me feel better, like we'll be okay or our kids will be okay. But on the other, no matter what you want to do, you need a great work ethic, right? If you want to be a top investment banker, you're going to work nonstop. If you want to be a farmer, if you want to volunteer at a food bank, you're going to have to figure out how to make everything work, you know, money-wise, and then you'll need a great work ethic. So whatever you want to do, if you want to play video games all day and you figure out how to make, you know, money for that, you know, so I think that's an important lesson and I struggle with it. And then I also sometimes just kind of say, you know what, your kids follow your lead. You know, I'm doing similar to you where as long as my children see that I'm working and what I'm valuing, I'm hoping they'll kind of get that message because there's only so much we can do. You also touched on struggles, which I think is an interesting topic because at a high level, you of course don't want to see your child struggle, especially if you can solve it. But at the same time, if you're helping them solve it all the time, then when you're not there, they're not going to be able to solve their own. No matter their work ethic, they won't be able to dig themselves out of the hole. So that's the sort of interesting balance. How do you give your child enough length or string where they won't cause too much damage, but they'll be able to see the world?
So the interesting thing about that is, you know, allowing our kids to struggle, I think we almost have to take some introspection. We feel like, well, like, don't want them to struggle. I mean, if it was a perfect life, you know, but then think about the things that we've learned because we've had to struggle and go, you know, through things and challenges and stuff. And it's almost like, is it more about us or them? And it's a really interesting question because not seeing them struggle, is it kind of more us? Like, oh, well, maybe we didn't do a good job if they're struggling. Hey, life is life and they're going to struggle. And if we've raised them right, or, you know, the best we can to give them the foundation of that confidence and the capability to do it and then get through it and stuff like that, right? Then we have assurance that they will get through it. So it's that we'll help you and advise you. I'm looking forward to being an advisor to my son, more a consultant, if you will. I won't charge him, but in helping him think through things and talk about things. And well, how would you deal with that, right? But not solve it for him. He's got to work through on his own. And, you know, just to touch on the work ethic thing too, is work ethic doesn't always mean like, oh man, yeah, I saw my dad work, you know, 12 hours a day and 7 days a week and stuff. Actually, that's not a good work ethic either. And, you know, in today's age, there's a limited opportunity, especially, you know, with virtual and entrepreneur and stuff like that. And I want my son to see he can work smarter, not harder, and with a very good strategy and the work ethic. I've got a couple entrepreneurial things that I'm kind of ready when he's ready to hand them off to him and say, son, you can do these. And instead of cranking out the hours at, you know, a fast food place or whatever, that's going to only pay, $15 an hour or whatever, you can do these entrepreneurial things that could be making you $150 an hour, right? What's better, right? Not that I don't think there's value in, you know, hey, do the shift work and, you know, some of the grunt work. It's all valuable. And I'd like him to experience whatever, you know, he has the motivation for. He's very motivated. This summer, he said, yeah, Dad, I'm going to be working a lot of the summer. Cause I'm like, hey, we're going to go on some vacations and whatever. And he's like, well, I'm going to work a lot of the summer. I'm like, well, yeah, but not all summer. We're going to go and do some stuff, right? So anyway, I like that he's thinking that direction. I'm very proud of him. This is his freshman year. He got accepted into the Collegiate Academy, which basically through his school district, he will be able to get his diploma and a 2-year college, like a associate's degree in the same time it would take him to get his diploma. So he will actually graduate when he normally would graduate high school with a 2-year college. So he worked hard for that and stuff. So I'm proud of him.
You should be proud. That's awesome. And more to the point though, you mentioned, you know, you obviously have a child who's working hard, who has you know, a work ethic so far. Obviously, we're doing what we can, but also a child who you're talking to. And a lot of people who have 14-year-olds or 13-year-olds or 12-year-olds or even younger don't have that open relationship. And that's a question we get a lot is, how do I raise a kid who will talk to me when they don't want to talk to me, when they don't want to talk to anyone, right? And the only thing I've found, I'd be curious to hear your thoughts, is it's not something you can turn on and off. You have to be started at a very young age. If you're open, then hopefully it stays open, the relationship, the talking, the communication. You can't wait till your kid turns 10 to say, okay, now tell me your feelings, sort of thing.
You know, it's an interesting balance, especially right now, because he's in the teenage years. I'll throw something out there that, you know, your listeners might want to consider. There is a, I don't know if you've heard of the five love languages, but there's the five love languages for teenagers. And I've got it on Audible. And actually, when we were on the airplane ride over to California and back, I put it on and I was listening through it and stuff. And I still got some more to listen to it, but it's good just to continue to, you know, reorient your mind. Hey, you know what? They're in the years where they're becoming independent, you know, and again, moving into that manhood, right? He's a young man and he's going through the changes and the hormones and stuff. I need to understand that sometimes things will absolutely not make sense and he'll be grumpy and he'll be moody and all that stuff. And not to take it personally. And, you know, he may shut down for a while. That's okay. I don't want him shutting down long periods of time. That I had a few days like he was just in that mode, and that was the hardest, right? That was like a kind of emotional when as soon as we started connecting again, I was like, oh wow, it was like so good to be able to connect again. I have to be careful. I've got strong convictions, I've got strong beliefs. He's got them too. He's wired that way. And I hope that the beliefs and the values and everything I have, he will, for the most part, might be some I don't want to pass on to him. For the most part, I really want those to be passed on, right? But he's got to make them his. And so I've got to enter into a conversation because he thinks at this age, sometimes he knows everything. You know, the kids do. And they don't. There's a whole world in front. But as at his age, I thought I knew everything. And then I learned when I got older that my parents really were smart. You know, it's just so interesting, the relationship I have now with my parents. You know, it's like, man, you guys knew a few things, right? But I've got to let him. I've got to entertain his questions. I've got to entertain his beliefs. If I don't agree with him, I don't have to disagree and die on that hill on everything, so to speak. Like, I can just say, okay, all right, well, all right, you've got that opinion. Okay. And I know that when he gets older, things would change, right? Like understanding money and, you know, understanding some of these responsibilities and things like that, that he just thinks like, yeah, oh yeah, well, I saw this from a friend and this is the way it is or whatever, right? So I've got to let him have his own opinions. And this is what the five love languages talked about, is you've got to let them have their opinions, talk through it, and allow them space to discuss. Because the worst thing you can do is basically tell them, this is the way, this is that, you know, I mean, we're past that, right? That's when they were younger. We, you know, here's what you do, don't you do. Now they've got to have the ability to discuss. And I think as long as you're allowing that dialogue, then you can get into some really rich conversations. And I've had a few of those. And it's just like, wow, like we can really talk like grownups here. This is cool.
That's awesome. And you touched on, you know, you're talking like grownups, but you're also understanding that you're the more mature one, you're older, and you're not going to fight on every hill, right? You're not going to stand on every hill and say, even though I know this is right. And that's important. I mean, even as a father of younger kids, of toddlers, you know, you find yourself getting in these weird arguments. It's like, what am I trying to prove? You know, it's not about being right. It's about how do you communicate what you're trying to communicate, you know, your love to your kid and sort of the bigger picture things. I think it's easy to lose sight of.
It is. And I know by nature, like I said, I mean, I've done some of these personality type things that, and belief is a very strong one of mine. My beliefs can be beliefs and I want them to be passed on to my son, but I don't have to be right on everything.
I appreciate you opening up about, you know, those days when you guys weren't communicating as well. And, you know, I feel that too. And that's another thing that's easy to lose sight of. Like, I'm moody. You know, I mean, I'm generally like a pretty happy person, but I'm moody and I get in bad moods too. So obviously, like, my kid, any kids, anyone's going to get in bad moods as well. I mean, it's just, you have to get out of your head sometimes and just say what they're doing is the same thing I do sometimes. It's normal. It doesn't mean I like it, but I don't like it in myself either. So maybe that's also why it's more painful when you start seeing things that come out in your kids, rightly or wrongly, you feel like came from you. Oh man, did I do this? Did I communicate this?
We got to understand, like, I mean, even I think for boys and maybe the same for girls, their like frontal lobe is not completely developed until like age 25. I look back at some, I know my mom especially was like, oh, my son, what is he doing? You know, I don't even know if it was 25 when I was like, okay, now I grow up or whatever, you know? So they've got, I mean, my son's 14 and he's still got twice as long to really go through that. And again, that's why I think it's so important. And just listening, I knew that it's important, you know, when your kids get older to kind of, you know, and it's not that you want to like, now I'm your friend, and your buddy, because you still want to be the parent figure, but you kind of move into more of, especially if they get an older consultant role. I'm going to be here to advise you. But the worst thing I think you can do is be like, I'm going to tell you you got this way, or I'm going to rescue you from everything, because then they never have the confidence, because we are raising the next generation, right, to even do better things than us. And so we have to give them that foundation and then allow them maybe to make some mistakes and to wrestle through some things. And we will be there in a supportive role, helping and making sure that they can come to us.
I like that. You're a little ahead of my journey in fatherhood in terms of, as you said, on the mentor side, you know, cheerleader, however you want to couch that. And that's where I'm going. And I am there in some ways. But on the other side, I'm also still on the end where I'm like, hey, don't touch that. That's hot. Or you're going to cut yourself, or, you know, those sort of basic life lessons. But it's interesting how you make that transition. And part of it's not being, I think the term is the helicopter parent, you know, who just jumps in and says, oh, no, don't do that. Don't do that. Be careful. You know, you need to give your child the space, and then they'll develop the space to be their own person and to be at the stage where you're at, which is a very exciting part of fatherhood.
Yeah. You know, the don't touch, it's hot. It's more, you know, you see them touch and you're like, now what'd you learn?
Yeah. You should know it's hot, or it's time for you to learn that lesson. No, I love that. I love that. Thinking back to when your child was a lot younger, or, you know, kindergarten, first grade, you know, those sort of years. Obviously, you're a great father. Is there something that you wish you did different, you did more of, or you did less of? Something you could maybe transfer to me or my listeners who have younger kids?
Well, I think I'm glad that we had the time to do lots of, we like the outdoors. We like, you know, to be on the lake, and we like to travel, you know, because I think sometimes you can be like, especially as a single father, you know, a single parent, it's like, you know, the challenges and you just dollars, you know, only goes so far and things like that and stuff. So you can be like, oh, well, maybe someday we'll go do this or that or whatever. So, you know, at least probably once a month when he would be with me, we would be doing something, you know, either, you know, out a couple, 3 hours away out, you know, I've got some lake property in East Texas. So we go out there and spend a lot of time out there and boating and jet skiing and all the stuff that we enjoy. And because of that, he's always had this desire to just experience and travel. And he's always been very social anyway. But I'm glad that I always took those opportunities. We just turned 14 and 3 times we've been international. And when I say international, it was Cancun twice. And the third time was a cruise. But I mean, passport, you know,
it's out of the country.
Yeah. You know, my first time ever on a plane was after high school. You know, and then I traveled overseas and internationally everywhere. But, and so I'm just glad that he's already had that experience. And we love it. You know, we do the all-inclusive type things. And we were actually the last cruise out before COVID. We were the very last cruise out. And I got to tell you, I mean, we're still waiting to do another cruise because he was 12 at that time. And again, transitioning kind of to the point to where, you know, he could go into they had like a youth program on the ship. And so he would go, he was excited to go and meet all the friends and that. And he's like, hey, see, Dad, I'm going. And, you know, and I was like, okay, all right, now I'm going to go do some of the grown-up stuff or whatever. But then every day we would go on our excursions and we'd go eat and we'd go to different activities. So we had the balance and he really enjoyed that. And that's where I started to see that, you know, him kind of moving into that independence. And, you know, I mean, some of it was like, oh, okay, I guess we're not going to do everything together. But I looked at it and I was like, I like that. Like, I like that. And we still like, we talk about the cruise. We're so glad we went because we almost didn't. And, you know, it's those memories. So I'm glad that I have always taken those opportunities and, you know, well, as, you know, he's still under my house and stuff, is to take those opportunities, regardless of what they might cost, regardless of if it looks like we have time or whatever, because you can never put a price tag on those.
That's right. I love that. Those are great experiences and memories. That's the word you used. And that's something that I think a lot about. And I know the Dad's Path does too, is how do you create memories, which you touched on? And then my question is, how do you want to be remembered by your kid as a dad? When you think like that, what comes through your mind? How do you want to be remembered as a dad?
I think first and foremost, like we were talking about, is I want my son to see that I'm there to encourage him and to support him. You know, I've already realized, like, I've made my mistake. So it's not going to be like, if that was ever a goal for him to think that dad had all together. I mean, I think that's a crazy goal for any parent to have anyway, because you want your kids to see that you can work through life and you're not perfect, because I think they need to know that they don't have to be perfect. I don't want my son to have to feel he has to be perfect. I want him to know that I value his heart and who he is. And I want him to have that, you know, and I'm thankful that, like, one of the things in this program too, and we've always done volunteer stuff, part of the program that he's going into, he has to do a certain amount of volunteer hours. So I'm going to take advantage of that, where we're doing as many as possible. And, you know, it not only do I want him to want to do it, but he kind of has to do it. So it's going to help build out that serving others and stuff. So I want him to know that that was important to me, because then he won't take for granted the freedoms and the things that we have and just the blessings and stuff that we have. Life's not perfect for any of us, but man, we have a lot to be thankful for. So I want him to walk away with, dad's going to be there. He's going to talk me through and advise me on things. Dad wasn't perfect, but dad was a good dad and he was always there. Too many kids in some occasions grew up without their dads, right? And that from the very beginning was something that it just was not going to be the case in my situation. You know, I was going to make sure I effectuated every single opportunity I had with my son. I just couldn't even imagine, right? So I want him to know, because of that, dad's there, dad will encourage him, and then just take away the memories that we have and create those same memories for his kids and his family.
That's beautiful. You touched on a lot of great things. And I think the last thing was right on. I mean, I don't remember who said it, but that's the sort of secret of fatherhood, is those seven letters, be there. And from there, you're cheerleading your support structure, helping your child become a successful adult, whatever that means. And that's also part of the challenge, I think, of fatherhood is, you know, you and I are both adults. I'll speak for myself. I don't know if I'm successful. I don't know if I have my head on right. I'm trying, you know, like doing a lot of things right. I'm doing other things I wish I could do better. And that's life, you know, at least for me, I'm trying to improve. And so as I think to my kids, the same exact thing, there's no such thing, at least in my experience, as a perfect person, as a perfect human being. So to expect that from your kids is unreasonable and it's unfair, you know, to them and to you, because you'll feel like a failure. I feel like I'm not doing a great job when it's not me, it's life.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, as men, and I experienced this during a period where, you know, we put a lot of things as defining success that are truly not success. They're success by maybe with the world or whatever, right? And we put a lot of identity in that too. And as much as I want my son, you know, we want our kids and stuff, I think, to like have that good work ethic and, you know, go to college maybe and get good grades and get a good job and all that stuff, at the end of the day, that's not the most important thing. It's value. It's important for them. You know, it's good work ethic and stuff like that. But as men, so many times we put our identity in our job and what we do and all that kind of stuff. And there was a period for me where I was in transition. And actually, when I came to Texas and I didn't have a job right then, and the whole little dialogue that we do sometimes as men, hey, I'm so-and-so. And then we go, immediately, what do you do? And we talk about it. And we go into this kind of like comparison, all this stuff. My line was, hey, I'm Mark. And here's my 1.5-year-old son I'm father to. And they're kind of like, what am I supposed to say? Like, you went off script. I don't know what to say now. Like, and you talked about something that was really honestly so much more important. But we're supposed to talk about jobs or whatever, right? So I think as we reflect upon that and say, be there. Just be there. If you're there, and you don't have to be perfect, or you don't have to be a celebrity, you just be there, that's enough. That's successful, right? And so I think as we just focus on that and say, okay, what does be there mean like? What does be there mean in this moment? What does it mean in this moment? What does it mean in this moment? It's going to be different. When they're younger, it's going to be, hey, I'm there taking care of your needs that you can't, you know, and then it's going to be, okay, what does be there look like when you're in sports or, you know, encouraging them and in school? And then it's going to be as they get older. Well, now I'm just kind of, I'm helping you think through things on your own, right? Just keeping that in mind and thinking back, you know, maybe in our own family, like, what did it mean when my parents were there? Or that, the kind of thing. So I think we overcomplicated it, and it's a lot simpler than we think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And just the maturity you had in that story where you say, hey, I had a one-year-old and I'm a dad, you know, and how that was like, you could hear a pin drop. A lot of dads struggle with that. And that actually, to me, is a very good example of being there. Because if you're struggling, saying, all right, I'm looking for a job, I'm not, and it was fine, you were working for a job. That's not the purpose of this example. The purpose is more saying, hey, there are a lot of people who have committed to not getting jobs, to being a stay-at-home dad, to their spouse or to their partner. But internally, they haven't made that commitment. You know, they're saying they have, but they feel uneasy. And that unease of saying I'm X, Y, and Z, not just I'm a dad, comes out in your kids too. I mean, that's part of the identity of being there. Like, be comfortable with who you are, make your decision. I met a guy last weekend. He went to Yale. He, you know, smart guy, majored in physics, worked at a hedge fund, and he's married a doctor, you know, and they just moved out here to Colorado. Now he's a stay-at-home dad. And it took like 20 minutes to understand he's a stay-at-home dad. I'm like, what do you, you know, we're just talking. And he's like, oh, well, I do day trading and I did, you know, he listed 20 different things. And it's just like, you know, it's okay. Be a dad. This is a season in our life. Don't fight it. Go with the flow. Because whether you go with the flow or not, it is. Yeah.
I'm naturally type A driven and that kind of stuff. And so it was definitely was uneasy from where I had placed my identity so many years, right? But that was something that was evolving and changing in me. In fact, I even took the Myers-Briggs, and what I was always on Myers-Briggs was ENTJ, very CEO driven. And this came up ESTP. And I told the administrator, I said, I need to take it again because it was that job I finally got. And he goes, okay, I took it again. It was ESTP. Well, ESTP is harmonious, right? And that's not necessarily like my natural personality. I mean, we talk and collaborate and cooperate, but in a lot of my jobs, it's like, you got to drive forward, you got to get things done. And it would always frustrate me when everyone had to agree to agree to agree. And I'm like, no, we just got to move forward, right? And so I was going to take the third time the test again, because I was convinced I had not answered it right. And then it hit me. And I was like, what changed? Like, what's changed? And I was like, well, I'm a father now. Oh, right. And it was like that click in my head. I have to be more nurturing, right? And so, you know, what I learned is so many years of what my identity, and that doesn't mean that I'm still not driven, I'm motivated and got all these entrepreneurial things going on, but that doesn't define me. What is most important, and as men, we have to orient our mind, especially if we're driven, is going back to what does it look like to be there? What does it look like to do that? What am I showing my kids in that? And so it got easier, you know, as I realized this whole thing that we hear, you know, is kind of drained in our mind and whatever, is that we got to be this and this and this and this. Stop trying to compete and just be yourself. Just be a dad and be there and enjoy the time and stop trying to influence and make everyone think you're something you're not. Just be yourself.
I like that. The sooner you can appreciate that and get comfortable with it, the better your life and your kids' life will be. But you said something really insightful that I hadn't really put together before, which is, you know, we spend so much time trying to raise kids and change our kids in good ways, and we don't always think about how they're changing us. It's that simple, but I mean, that's what you said. And I think that's beautiful. I haven't thought about how, when I'm trying to teach my kids about sharing or the golden rule, how that might be affecting me in positive ways. That's really nice. And it makes a lot of sense. You know, when you see fathers at the other end of the journey or in the middle, they change. They've reoriented, as you said.
And again, you put your business hat on and okay, all right, let's get together. Let's get to work. You know, you have your personal life, you have different hats and stuff, but some of them can blend together. And I feel like that even made me in the business world, like, all right, you know, let's entertain a few more ideas or, you know, this, that, or whatever. Because I mean, I was so tied for so long to my identity is this. I'm like, no, I can change. Like, it's okay. It's healthy to have that balance.
That's right. Again, the earlier you can accept that and just go with the flow and say, hey, this is who I am now. I'm not the same, you know, 20-year-old as I was. Now I'm in a different season of my life. Embrace it, appreciate it, and live it to the fullest. Because soon I will have a teenager like you. Soon you're going to have a teenager who's out of the house. That's life. So regardless of where we are, we have to appreciate it. Well, thanks, Mark. I really appreciate you joining us today. Thank you. You've really been an awesome guest. I've really appreciated hearing from you, and I've learned a lot. I'm sure our listeners will too.
Well, I enjoyed it. Thanks so much. I've learned a lot too. I mean, this is what it's about, right? Is iron sharpens iron, and we learn from each other, and very honored to be a part of your podcast today.
Well, thank you, Mark.
If you liked our podcast, please subscribe and leave us a review. If you haven't joined us yet, go to adadspath.com to get our free newsletter exclusively for dads. And do you know a friend who might like this podcast? Send it on. We want to help as many dads as possible make fatherhood count. Dad on.